It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it, and I find myself staying up late to catch all the action. I can't be dragging the next morning. That's why I go for a 5-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or when my favorite team is playing late. With over 15 flavors to choose from, like watermelon, tropical burst, blue raspberry, peach mango, and more, there's a flavor for everyone. On their website, you have the option to build your own 12-pack or 24-pack and have it delivered right to your door. And if you're out and about, you can always pick up a 5-hour energy shot at your local grocery or convenience store. They're everywhere. 5-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before the next tip-off.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This is Danny and Dusty.
It's not your problem, Doc. You don't have to mix up in this.
That is a hell of a thing for you to say to me.
With Danny Meringue and Dusty, the Fan Man Hera.
Go ahead. Go ahead, skin it. Skin that smoke wagon and see what happens.
Danny and Dusty on the Odyssey app and 1080.
I'm your huckleberry.
The Fan.
Three here on Danny and Dusty on a Monday. We're listening on 1080 AM. Watch going on YouTube.com/1080AM The Fan or Twitch.tv/1080AM The Fan. We appreciate you. We love you. Thank you for hanging out with us on this wonderful, wonderful Monday. And if you are Team Tank, things are going well for you at the Portland Trailblazers. Game two of the road trip after falling to the Sacramento Kings, they take on the New York Knicks. And after a scorching hot first half from Denny Avdia, the Blazers bench can give them next to nothing. Four total points. They're outscored 23-4 by the Knicks. Oh boy, that's not going to get it done. And they end up falling 110-93, managing just 15 points in the fourth quarter.
I thought that there was a chance they were going to win that game.
The way Denny was playing? Yeah.
I look up and it's like, they're just not taking him out of games. Trying to win, but then they were just like, all right, we're going to surround him with whatever. We're going to put DB Hooper in. We're going to put Duop Reith in. We're just going to roll the ball out and see what happens here. Because
some might call it ethical.
It was ethical. I mean, and you can't say it's a full on tank because Denny
played 40 minutes.
His month of March was insane. 23. 9.8 rebounds a game, so almost 23-10, 5.2 assists per game, and went 51-46-81 split shooting. That is crazy.
Over 14 games.
That is a crazy march that Denny put together, and he was the only player in the NBA to average 25-5 on 45% or more shooting from three. That's crazy.
So
it was a great month for him.
Denny had 2 30-point games in his career in Washington. He had 6 already with Portland this year. 5 of them have come this month.
I thought it was he had a very candid answer when he was asked about the young guys in the future. And he was like, look, everybody wants to just point at Scoot and Shea, but it's been more than them. And you could tell that what he was saying was this was different than Washington,
yes.
Right? Where development has actually been a point of emphasis. Development has actually happened, and the results kind of have spoke for themselves. Now, it has dramatically hurt the Blazers' odds of getting a high-level draft pick, but from the player side of it, it was honest and candid that, no, look,
we've gotten better.
We have gotten better in a lot of different areas over the course of the season. If you watch the team, they have. Now that they are out of the playoff hunt, you're starting to see that's probably what we should see moving forward, right?
I think so. And what's really interesting about Denny is, yes, the production has been otherworldly. No, I don't expect him to come in next year and average 23, 10, and 5.
I do.
But 20 points, 7 boards, 4 assists, I think that's on the menu.
Yeah.
Which, if you're a 20.5 rebound, 5 assist guy at 6'9", you got the goods.
Yeah.
Like that's pretty damn impressive. But even more than that, what
it's
I think you're
better than Bub Carrington and Malcolm Brogdon.
Yeah. And the second best pick you could have in 2029.
Yeah. Yeah.
I still don't.
Of 3.
Yes.
Second of 3.
So Denny has become not only the best player on the team, but he's becoming the face of the team. Because number one, Shaden can't and won't do that. He will not be the voice of the team. Mm-hmm. Scoot can, but he's got to be better. Denny has the right profile of being good, but also being very good with the media. He's very thoughtful. He doesn't just get out there and spit out platitudes. He's very honest. He's very thoughtful in like what he says and how he says it. A lot of times when you ask him a question, he'll ask a clarifying question just to like, let me make sure I'm understanding. Number one, it's English as a second language, which I think people tend to forget because Denny speaks English so well. But he, talking to everybody in Washington after the trade got made, they said, you will love him like unabashedly as a human, but he is the most team-oriented guy you will ever be around. And as great as Denny has been, he will trade his individual production if it means they win. He doesn't. He's doing this because this is what's being asked of him. And what I don't think people know, I tweeted about this the other night. Most of what Denny does is not Chauncey Billups calling it from the bench. It is in transition, semi-transition, or recognizing a mismatch.
Yeah.
They are not running a ton of stuff for him. And yet he's still this productive and this efficient.
It's been really fun to see his growth, his development over the year. I think Tumani Kamara also, undeniably, you can look at those two guys and you can say, all right, the trades that Joe Cronin in the front office made to acquire those two guys.
Fantastic.
Remember, 2 was a throw-in to the DeAndre Ayton trade. Now, it wasn't just a throw-in for Phoenix because they liked him.
Yeah, and Portland would not do the deal without Tumani Kamara.
And so that trade, it is really damn good right now. The freight at the time seemed like a lot for Denny Avdia. It's not anymore because of the production that you have seen. Those two guys, though, their success is going to be tied to the next player that is added to this and what that looks like. And, you know, we talk about it till we're blue in the face that May 12th cannot come fast enough. And, you know, we are a month and a half away from the NBA draft lottery and the season is winding down and the Blazers are picking up losses left and right, which is a good thing for them getting those 8th best lottery odds to potentially jump up and try to make a move into the top 4.
And for those wondering, Portland currently has the 9th best lottery odds. They are a half game ahead of the San Antonio Spurs.
All right.
And the team in front of them or behind them, however you want to place it, Chicago is at 10th. The Blazers play both of those teams. Those are wildly important games when you're talking about this stuff. I think Chicago is really pressing to try to play well to make it past the play-in. Like, make it into the playoffs. Like, that. Chicago's beat the brakes off a couple teams lately. San Antonio, they've been frisky, but they also got absolutely slaughtered by the Cavs.
Yeah, this is going to be an interesting run for the Spurs here, too, because they have some games against teams that are trying to jockey for position. Orlando coming up tomorrow, I think they play Orlando. And then they have Denver, which obviously the seeding chunk in the West is
God knows where.
And then they have Cleveland. And then they get the Blazers, but then they have the Clippers, Warriors, and Suns. All of those teams are trying to win basketball games right now because of the way that the Western Conference is loaded up at the top. And look, Phoenix, they're st- still trying to get in. That Kevin Durant injury, night-night. I think they're done.
And here's what's also interesting. Kevin Durant has to play, I believe, four of the final five games.
Oh, really?
To make all NBA, to hit a 65-game threshold.
I watched that game on NBA TV last night.
Oh, my.
The Suns-Rockets
God,
game.
God, did they get crushed.
I've never seen... Well, actually, I have. I've watched the Blazers the last two seasons. Roll over quite like... This, like a team that is in contention and has something on the line. I've not seen a team roll over like the Phoenix Suns did last
crazy.
Night.
Crazy.
It was
crazy work.
Like, and I say about the Blazers because Blazers haven't been playing for anything. Like, that is to be expected. That was a game where they just went, whatever. And Mike Budenholzer looked lost. Like, that stare, like he was just looking up at the 300 level the entire game. That was a rough game to watch by any measure. And I'm not a Suns fan. I was just watching it going, whoa.
The Suns fans were actively booing the Suns.
They should have.
I mean, it was bad.
It was really bad. And Dylan Brooks gets thrown out.
He campaigned for that one.
That was funny. I thought that was funny.
Oh, don't get me wrong. Like, it's Dylan Brooks, but everybody's like, oh, I've seen some people say, oh, the ref shouldn't have thrown him out. I'm like, he said the magic words to the refs three times, guys. Like,
yeah.
Are you kidding me?
I think he had somewhere to be in Scottsdale.
Yeah, no, he 100% deserved to get run. There was no doubt about it.
The best, Bill Kennedy was on fire,
oh,
too.
Oh, God, he was great.
He was, because they went and they reviewed it. If you don't know what happened, Kevin Durant was driving through the lane. Dylan Brooks got physical with mm-hmm. him. There was a whistle. They jostled back and forth.
Little tussle.
And KD does what KD does, which is probably said, what are you even doing? Yeah. Who are you?
Yes.
You know? And Dylan Brooks fired back, did hold me back, bro, went mm-hmm. after KD, and he ended up cussing at the refs. He gets run.
Yeah. I mean, like, look, you can say a lot of things to the refs, but when it's bleep you,
yeah,
not what the bleep. You can drop the bleep. It's okay, but when it's directly at the official, automatic T every single time. Every single time.
Well, when they went to review, Bill Kennedy,
the king,
became a star.
There are a number of technical fouls have been issued. Technical foul on Durant. Technical foul on Richards. And two technical fouls on Brooks. And he has been ejected.
Bill Kennedy is a king of replays. He knew exactly who was on, but he's like, let me pause for a little.
Dramatic pauses after Durant, Suns player mm-hmm. in Phoenix. Dramatic pause on Richards, Suns player mm-hmm. in Phoenix. And then, oh, wait, who did we just throw out of the game? Oh, yeah, Dylan Brooks. Mm-hmm.
The
Boom.
King. Bill Kennedy is the king of replays. Nobody does it better. I don't know if you caught the NCAA tournament refs trying to do that. We're going to review. And I was like, brother, have you done this before? The big lights, they're not for everybody. Kennedy shines under them.
I will say this. We were talking about the Blazers start. This text on the fan text line came in. Blazers are in the race for Con Knipple. I started this charge last week. Folks, we need to temper this down a little bit. Mm. All right?
The white guy from Duke, that's the one they want.
Push the brakes on this. Mm. Con Knipple, he may get himself out of that 7-10 range.
He is, for everybody that I have talked to, he is locked in as a top 10 pick.
Okay. Well, hey, don't, we need to temper these expectations a little bit, right? Maybe we should start talking less about Con Knipple and more about Cooper Flagg's stock may be falling.
Mm, he did have a rough game.
You know, 16 points?
Yeah.
Well, where was he?
That's a number.
Don't look at anything definitely else. Don't look at no other stat there. But we need, like, hey, maybe Cooper Flagg isn't that guy. All right? This is what we need to do. We need to have Cooper Flagg's stock come down a little bit. Stop talking about Con Knipple, all right?
Yeah. That's right.
All right? This team needs shooters, okay? If the Blazers are going to win too many games to go up and jump into the Cooper Flagg sweepstakes.
As an aside, the Blazers shot 9 of 36 from 3 last night.
Con Knipple can fix that.
Not the worst pick. Not the worst pick. All right, coming up next, we will pivot back to NCAA basketball. Coming out of the Elite Eight and setting up our Final Four run, we'll dive back into that next here on Danny and Dusty, 1080 The Fan.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps.
Hi, this is Javon, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow, a real person.
Yep, I'm here to help with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
Well, I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
We can also send you samples fast and free.
Wow, I mean, I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule. And there's no haggling, pressure, or hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over, and I'm thinking of something.
Blinds.com has covered over 25 million windows, all backed by a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop Blinds.com now and save up to 45% site-wide. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Thumbtack presents the ins and outs of caring for your home. Out. Indecision. Overthinking. Second-guessing every choice you make. In. Plans and guides that make it easy to get home projects done. Out. Beige on beige on beige. Ugh. In. Knowing what to do, when to do it, and who to hire. Start caring for your home with confidence. Download Thumbtack today.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Are target date funds a smart or lazy way to invest? Should you pay off debt or invest extra cash? Can you deduct your dog as a home security system on your taxes? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing strategies, tax planning, and smart ways to build wealth and navigate big financial decisions. Work smarter, not harder, on your finances this year. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
I'm Rhett.
And I'm Link.
And we're the hosts of the podcast Ear Biscuits. We're just two lifelong friends who've been talking about life for a long time.
From being dads to businessmen to all the random things we experience, nothing is off limits.
And now we're talking to you. We're answering your questions, giving advice that you may or may not want to take, and listening to your hilarious stories.
So leave us a voicemail to be part of the show at
1-888-EARPOD1 on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
The NCAA tournament on the men's side has lived up to the billing this year. Some people casting stones at Jay Billis when he did his bracket and had all four one seeds going all the way to the Final Four.
Bold picks, Jay.
Well, he was right. And as we talked about earlier in the show, the KenPom ratings of these teams that are in this Final Four are historic.
Yeah, all four are in the top 10 all time of season ratings for KenPom, which is a metric that is used. It's not the end-all be-all, but it is one of the metrics that they use when seeding the tournament. Mm-hmm. And so it's supposed to show overall output and performance of a team. And so all four of these teams have been historically good. And like, that's the thing. I don't understand that when people say this, the analyst brackets, and they're like, wow, whoa, way to go, real good one there. Well, do you want him to pick the teams that he think is gonna win, or do you want him to pick some crazy upsets because that's what you want to see? I think Jay Billis is going, I think these are the best teams in college basketball, and they have been over the course of the season. I don't think there wasn't like a, oh, that team should have been a one that ended up a two, because in conference tournament play, every team that showed that they had the potential to be a one showed why they are two. Tennessee, yeah. Especially.
Yeah, especially with the way their offense just come. And that was always the knock on Tennessee this year. Great defensive team. Offensively, they can sputter.
Yeah. And so we have the four best teams heading into the tournament have continued to be that. And I think that as it has gone on, at the very beginning of this, everybody looked at Florida and Duke and said, those are probably the two best teams in the nation heading into the tournament. There is no other reason to think otherwise from what we've seen through round of 64, 32, 16, and 8.
I mean, if you want to put Houston, I mean, Auburn is the one out, like when you're talking about, and they've been great. But the only reason I'm saying that about Auburn is because their best player, Jahni Broom, sprained his knee, ankle, and his elbow all on one play.
Still think he's going to be a Blazer because of that.
And I've seen some people say, oh, he's a first-round pick. Like, sure, if you're talking like the 28th or 29th or 30th. Like,
or 8th.
Yeah, that's definitely not happening. but, yeah, he's, don't get me wrong, he's a great college player and he's probably going to be a solid pro.
He is.
Like, the whole idea about, like, you know, not drafting older players, we're past that now. Like, if you're a team picking at the back of the draft, you sometimes want to pick those players because you're in a title window or you're building towards that. And so you want that ready-made guy. If you're picking earlier, you've got a lot more runway to work with, and you're thinking more about the upside.
Yeah.
So
I think, and I, that sucks for Bruce Pearl. It sucks for Auburn that Broom goes down, because
he did come back to the game, as crazy as that was.
Yeah, but you need him to get fully healthy in 6 days. And that's going to be a big ask, especially when you have to play the Florida Gators in the Final
Four. Put in that call to LeBron James for that cryo chamber.
Boy. Oh, that's what it is. Mm-hmm. And right now, as we said earlier, Florida's 2.5-point favorites in that game.
That feels low.
It does, because of his health. If that number starts, that's a great number to keep an eye on.
Mm-hmm.
Because if that thing starts growing, it's because people in Vegas have found out his status.
Yep, and that he's good, or if it goes down...
I don't think it's going to move from 2.5, but if it starts getting, if we have more than like a 2-point jump in that thing, if Florida gets to like 4.5, that means there's some serious questions about Jahni Broom. And that's where the money should be right now, is on Florida, because the way that they finished off Texas Tech, look, it was a little alarming to have a team that is supposed to be dominant struggle and be down 9 with 2 minutes and 50 seconds to go in the game.
Tech's also really good.
What they ended up doing was putting the nail in the coffin with every misstep that Texas Tech made. They made them pay. And Walter Clayton Jr. was a big reason for that, scoring 8 of their last 12 points. And look, Grant McCaslin is going to have some nightmares over the way that game finished, but that's what great teams will do. They had two of their studs, didn't have it on Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
They get some time now. They're going to get it back, and they had their two other studs carry the way in the final 2.5 minutes.
And now we're on a collision course, hopefully, for me, selfishly, for Duke, Florida.
Duke, Florida, but look, I'm not throwing Houston out, but the way that they play defense, man, they are going to try to... You want to talk... We talked about this, the over-unders of games in the Sweet 16. 136.5 for that Texas Tech-Duke game.
Mm-hmm.
That points are going to be hard to come by on both ends of the floor. Duke obviously has an advantage, just sheer size and skill. And the freshmen aren't blinking, man. The freshmen are playing outstanding basketball for Duke.
That game is easily, of the two, is the one that I'm most excited to watch.
Yeah.
Because the styles are just going to be incredible. Like, if you're going to sit there and try to press that massive Duke team, Kaman Malawach, did you see how often he got free down the lane and they found him for lobs?
Yeah, that's like Cooper Flagg just starts steamrolling down the lane, and then all of a sudden defense is like, oh, no, the best player in the country. Whoop, ball goes up towards the rim.
And you're going, oh, that's right, they have that 7'3" guy that's a rim runner. It's tough to overcome when their starting lineup goes 6'6", 6'6", 6'7", 6'10", 7'2".
This is a really tough problem for John Shire. Because Shire has the most talented team in the country.
Mm-hmm.
No doubt about it.
And they fit together the best.
He is getting proper credit right now for what he is doing in-game and what he has done to prepare these guys. But I feel like he'll never get the credit for how well he has coached in this tournament because of how good the talent is on his team. He's got three freshmen
that play massive roles.
And those guys don't look like... Even the best coaches in college basketball, over the history of the game, whether it is, you know, Coach K Roy Williams, mm-hmm. Self, Patino, Izzo, Calipari.
They've had freshmen that they won't play or they won't trust in moments.
And in some of those moments, they're not ready for it, mm-hmm. right? And he's got three of them, though.
And they're ready every time.
And that, to have all three of them ready every game, that's coaching, too.
Because mm-hmm. remember,
he's done an incredible job.
Shire got killed in the first month of the season for empowering those guys.
Yeah.
And they made their mistakes. Remember Cooper Flagg with the big turnover games that lost them the couple games that they dropped this year?
The Kentucky game early.
Yep. Had three turnovers in the final minute.
I think people should remember that because that means he's like, around 8-10 range. Yeah. I mean, we'll check back in a month and a half.
Yeah. So it all depends on where the Blazers end up.
8-10 range. No, I wouldn't say that. Whoa. I mean, not just we'll see in a month and a half where that is. But right now, I'm saying like 8-10 seems about right for him. People forget those turnovers.
It happens.
But you're right about, you know, Cooper Flagg at the beginning to where he's at now. He has grown a ton, and I think people do forget the guy should be a high school senior right now.
That's the crazy thing about this. I've never seen a kid with that kind of poise at that age. It's creepy.
He's the players are really damn good. So is the coach. And with all that said, Kelvin Sampson is probably just going to put him in a torture chamber. And
it's going to be a really good, ugly game.
It is going to become a bloodbath where physicality. That's the other thing.
Please, refs, stay out of this. God,
why do I?
Please stay out of this. Do not put these guys in foul trouble. Let them play. Let them play.
We talked about this last on Friday, right? This Duke team, you're sitting there and you're like, they're really likable.
They are.
They're really likable.
They're not Dad's Duke team.
Oh, man. And that's the thing about these guys, though, mm-hmm. is that if this game gets physical and it gets nasty, it's not going to be like Coach K lobbying with the officials and then getting all the calls.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to fight back.
Yeah, no.
I love Duke.
Oh, God, it's so good. No, they're a physical team, too. They're not going to shy away from contact.
Yeah.
That's what's crazy is usually you see the young guys get bullied around. You aren't, like, Con Knipple's built like a fire hydrant. You're not pushing him around. Cooper Flagg is, the dog at him per 36 is the highest score I've ever given a high school kid going into college. And Malawach is 7'2", 7'3". Like, what are you going to do with him?
You know what I hope we don't see this week is Coach K starting to come around and people are reaching out. And that's one thing I really appreciate about Coach K, what he's done this year.
Stayed back and let Shire do it.
He has stayed back and he's just been like, we don't hear boo from him.
He wears his West Point gear to games.
Well, yeah, he's a West Point
man.
But
make sure to like, hey, no, this is Shire's team.
I think that's a really cool thing because it's a hard thing to do for a legendary coach.
And you got to imagine the ego is probably playing a part too.
He's doing a phenomenal job with that.
Now, speaking of doing phenomenal jobs, the Detroit Pistons, they are doing a phenomenal job of bringing back the Bad Boys. We'll get to that next year. First, here's the Big Kahuna Sports Center Update.
You mind if I have some of your tasty beverage to wash this down?
Last night in the association, watching along at K2 in the Blazers game, and I've got my laptop going around the league, see what's kind of going on. Minnesota-Detroit turns into a whole-on fist fight that falls into the stands. And it started because, shockingly, earlier in the game, Isaiah Stewart, Beef Stew, instigating, getting a technical foul, being rough, being what he is. He's the best instigator in the league. That's don't get it twisted. That's what he is there to do. That's not all he is. He's a very, very, very good rim protector. Remember when the Pistons played here, he had 5 blocks. And it was like, quit trying him. Chauncey Billups even mentioned it in the postgame. Yeah, we figured out later in the game, maybe stop going right at him.
Seems like a good choice.
But what ended up happening was a few possessions later, rookie Ron Holland gets a strip foul on Naz Reid driving the rim. It is the most simple, basic, run-of-the-mill foul that I've ever seen lead to a player being irritated. Naz Reid comes back at rookie Ron Holland, wagging his finger in his face, clearly irritated because he's been instigated by Beef Stew. But he goes at the rookie, and then Dante DiVincenzo comes up and bodies up the rookie, and it turns into a full-on fracas.
Now, I like Dante DiVincenzo coming in there, though. He was hot.
He was, but also,
hot.
If you want to go hot, go at Beef Stew. That's what he's there for.
Well, not Dante DiVincenzo. Why would he do that?
No, I mean, why is he? Why is he?
Because he's going to protect his guy.
But why is Naz Reid going at Ron Holland for doing nothing?
Well, you want to be irritated, Naz Reid.
Well, no, you want to be irritated. You want to be. You want to. Like, you want to get
getting
into
all hot on Naz Reid. Not nobody has this has an opinion on Naz Reid and Danny's hot.
No, it's not. It's not Naz Reid. It's you went for the young kid.
Yeah.
You want smoke? There's a guy 10 feet away who has all the smoke.
That's why he didn't go to that smoke.
But that's my point. That's my point.
Why are you so mad?
Because I hate this. Don't pick on the young guy. Don't pick on the young guy, big boy. The other big guy's over there waiting for you. And then it gets to the floor, and it gets into a hole-on melee. There's some sucker punches thrown at Ron Holland.
Yeah.
In the bottom of the pile. Ron Holland gets up, and his face is beat up.
Yeah, that was an actual
full on fight.
Yeah, we had it was a real
and Ron Holland did nothing. Ron Holland did nothing. It was the most innocuous foul I've ever seen.
I love how upset you are right
look,
now.
Look, man, look, there's this is what I love about hockey. Hockey has a code.
Yeah.
You want smoke? He's right there. You don't go after the kid.
Stop yelling.
I don't like it. Don't pick on the kid. There's
well,
a guy.
We don't know what Ron Holland was saying through the entire game.
We got every angle of that whole possession. Naz Reid was out of pocket.
Yeah, well, I don't doubt that.
Like, you're irritated. Look, like I said, there's another guy over there. His main job is to make sure you're irritated.
Yeah.
No, don't be wrong. Ron Holland is about that life.
Well, isn't that kind of Naz Reid too, though? Is he's an agitator as
yeah,
well?
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah, I mean, so I think he's.
But don't go after the kid.
Yeah, well,
don't go.
Gotta learn. Look, unwritten rules
Ron,
of basketball.
Ron Holland's not afraid. He's a tough, hard nosed kid.
Yeah,
but there was nothing in that foul.
Yeah.
That should have led to that reaction.
Absolutely
nothing.
Not. No, no. Unless there has been some John back and forth between them throughout the course of the game, and I think the bigger thing that I took out of that is that like the Pistons are back to like the identity of the Pistons.
Oh, they
that's
are.
Something Isaiah Stewart has been saying. For a while now, I was like, no, we are picking back up the bad boy Pistons to the Chauncey Billups, Rasheed Wallace, mm-hmm. Ben Wallace, Rip Hamilton, Tayshaun Prince Pistons. Like, no, we're back to that because that's the identity of this franchise.
Of this city.
I like that when mm-hmm. you have a young team who's gone through it. And look, make no mistake, that Pistons team has had their teeth kicked in for years. Like, I saw this. They became the first team in NBA history that has tripled their win percentage, their win total from mm-hmm. 1 year to the next.
Yeah.
14 wins a year ago. They picked up their 42nd. I think it was on Friday night.
Guaranteed an above 500 season.
That is incredible. Mm-hmm. And they've
Trajan Langdon has done a hell of a job.
They've done the coaching change. It's everything has kind mm-hmm. of worked and clicked this year. And they went through the Shawshank poop tunnel to get to where they're mm-hmm. at right now. And that's kind of it's toughened their skin because they're ready for that. And Isaiah Stewart, like for him to play the way he does, he's only 6'8".
Yeah. But he's big.
But he is a rim protector. Mm-hmm. Let's see. An undersized big who is really good at the rim. Ben mm-hmm. Wallace, mm-hmm. right? Like, they have this identity of a throwback Pistons team. That's what I took out of this. Like, Naz Reid is going to Naz Reid, and Minnesota is going to be irrelevant. Yeah. You know? Like, that's it. What I saw was this Pistons team is going to take guff from nobody.
Look, I don't want to play. If I'm in the East, I don't want to play that team.
No,
they're going to pull you down into the mud, and it's going to be nasty and it's going to be ugly. I love what the Pistons are doing. Look, I have been campaigning for years, but circling back to Dylan Brooks. I don't want Dylan Brooks within 1,000 miles of Portland. He is the wrong, like, don't get me wrong. He is one of probably like 15 guys in the NBA where winning every night matters. And I love that about him.
Mm-hmm.
Every game matters. Like I talk all kinds of junk about Dylan Brooks. There are qualities about him that I love.
Yeah.
His toughness and getting under people's skin.
Yep.
Look, I'm even okay with occasionally having a crash out. Like, I think you need to have one or two a year. Mm-hmm. Like, if you're that guy, if you're a little bit crazy, because it's a tone setter. And it's also, I've said this so many times about Draymond. Nobody in their right mind has hard fouled Steph Curry once.
Yeah.
Because Draymond will knock your teeth out.
Yeah, he will.
And there's It's a protection layer. It's like what's his name with Gretzky, McSorley. You did. McSorley was going to murder you if you came anywhere near Wayne Gretzky. Mm-hmm. That's the franchise. You don't touch that. And you have this guy that is. You want a toughness throughout your team. Some guys just aren't going to be as tough as others.
No.
But a guy like Beef Stew, even a guy like Dylan Brooks, you're okay with the occasional crash out because of like, yeah, he's got us. He's got our back. You always want to have that guy that has your back no matter what, those ride or dies. But there's levels to the crash out. It's like, eh.
And it is appearing that that first round matchup is going to be Indiana and Detroit.
And Indiana's a tough team too, man.
That's going to be a fun matchup. Mm-hmm. I think those two teams
develop some rivalry there.
And we need it desperately in the NBA. Last thing. Did you see the kid who was sitting courtside who got caught up in all of it?
Mm-hmm.
Dude, this kid was just like sitting courtside. Me and dad were at the game. And then all of a sudden, there is like 600 pounds of NBA player just a pile goes right into him. They gave him a jersey. They're like, hey, man, we're really sorry. The things that you heard and had to be a part of.
Because there's a video from a foot away. Oh, there's a video from like a guy sitting right there.
And get your guard up.
And the best thing about it was JB Bickerstaff went after Pablo Prigioni. I mean, just lost his mind. It was like, oh, it's the whole team. Like, they're all crazy. And it's great. I love it. Absolutely love it. JB Bickerstaff has been magical in Detroit.
Yeah, it's a
perfect marriage.
It's a breath of fresh air to have him back. Who is Pablo Prigioni?
Former San Antonio Spur and coach for the Minnesota Timberwolves.
Oh.
Yeah. You'd know him as soon as you saw him.
Really?
Yeah.
Pablo Prigioni mm-hmm. is the coach of the Timberwolves?
I'm sorry, not Spur. Well, he might have been Spurs. We're the Knicks, too.
Oh.
So.
Wow.
You'd know him if you saw him.
Well, let me look. Yeah.
I don't remember the name.
There you go.
Yeah.
I don't think I could probably pick him out of a lineup, even if he was holding a sign that said, I'm Pablo Prigioni.
Nah, you'd be surprised.
Oh, but yeah. He's an assistant coach for the Minnesota Timberwolves. All right.
Coming up next, we'll wrap up today's show with some baseball nuggets here on Danny Dusty, Tenny the Fan.
It's time for Legends of Hoop, an inside look at the college basketball championships. Brought to you by Legends Casino Hotel, within winning distance.
I didn't get any diagnosis. When Janai came out of the locker room, I hadn't talked to the doctor, but I just asked him, are you good to go? He said, I am. I said, well, get your ass in there.
You got to love it. Bruce Pearl, Auburn head coach on Janai Broom. And look, Broom coming back into that game, after watching that fall, I didn't think there was any chance that he was coming into that game. He even told the staff from the sideline he was done.
No, yeah, and look, even the minutes that he gave,
they needed every last second.
They did. He's going to need a lot more come Saturday because they've got a big test in front of them with the Florida Gators.
Legends of Hoop is brought to you by Legends Casino Hotel. Escape to Legends Casino Hotel within winning distance. It's a short drive to Toppenish, Washington. The ultimate destination for fun and relaxation, LegendsCasino.com. As we get out of here, a couple of baseball nuggies. Jeff Rust, what did Rafael Devers end up with here?
When he's 0 for 19, I believe, to start the season with 15 strikeouts.
That's a record, Bob.
That's stinky, and that's why you're not playing third base.
Well, look, that's just how fickle being a baseball player can be.
That's like, why he's not playing third base. He's the designated hitter.
Well, it's the mental side of the mm-hmm. game. Like, he thought he was the franchise player. He thought he was the guy who got to call a shot. They signed Bregman. Bregman gets
obviously.
Obviously, he's going to play third base, and he's a mental mess right now, mm-hmm. and that's something to watch with the old Boston Red Sox. They need to trade him ASAP, but that is a record for most strikeouts. He set the record for most strikeouts through the first three games of the season with 12.
I'm imagining that he just pushed that record out through the most through four. 15 through four, probably.
Yeah. Record. Also, should be noted here, the whole thing over the torpedo bats. Remember when we were talking torpedo bats? I said, maybe, just maybe, it isn't the bat. It might be that the Brewers kind of suck at pitching. Mm-hmm.
What's the score?
They lost 11-1 to the Kansas City Royals at home today. Mm. Salvador Perez went yard. They gave up two more home runs today. turns out Yankees lineup, good.
Mm-hmm. Also,
Brewers pitching,
not
bad.
Brewers outscored 47-15 on the season so far, 3-4 games.
Yeah, I got a Pirates stat for you. The Pirates became the first team to be walked off in their first three losses of the season since the 1924 Pittsburgh Pirates.
Some franchises just have it going, man.
All right, that does it for us on a Monday. We'll get to Mariners stats tomorrow because, boy. That does it for us today. Up next, you got 4 hours of power from their mouths to your ears. It's Prime Time with Isaac and Souk. Have a great Monday, everybody.
Bye.
There's no substitute for intimacy and spending time together and getting to know one another.